Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Welcome back to another week of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart. We got Brian Myers in studio. Of course, Ron.
Yep.
And Brian, it's been 3 years, hasn't it?
Yes, three delightful years.
And they still allow us to be on the air.
Yeah, they every week it's a sort of a miracle of sorts.
Right. They must be desperate. Are you guys desperate, Ron?
There's no content available at that time slot. That's what it boils down to.
I don't think that's quite true.
Okay. You're just not going to, if it weren't for us, you just wouldn't play static.
That's true.
Hey, I got to tell a quick story, in this regard. And it is connected with something Ron said. So, all right. So I'm whining about not having any idea if anybody's even listening to the show. This is like last year.
Our tens of listeners.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm whining about, look, we have no idea if anybody's listening to the show or not. And Ron pipes up and he says, I know there's people that listen to the show. He says, matter of fact, I know this guy who listens to the show routinely. I talked to him about it. And I said, well, yeah, he's probably a serial killer. And Ron looks up at me with this serious face. He says, oh, no, he works at the post office.
Now. Hey, I know a lot of postal workers, and they're very nice people. That's just.
Do you remember the phrase going postal?
Yes. But I think they got a bad rap. They got that under control now.
Well, whatever. I don't think we've really established that anybody besides serial killers and postal workers listen to the show.
See, now, you just offended all the postal workers that listen to the show. I'm not sure that's a good idea.
You're right. I never thought about that.
So, way to go.
Shane told this story. Brian Myers did not. That was Shane Vanderhart speaking, folks.
And we apologize deeply. Oh, sincerely.
We have a very special guest on the line, and he loves postal workers, I'm sure. Secretary of State Paul Pate has joined us. Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, Paul.
Hey, it's a pleasure. It's a gorgeous day today.
It is. Yeah, Iowa weather. We had a couple inches of snow. Now we're in the 50s. So, you can probably think my birthday's coming up, so that probably has something to do with it. It's always warm around my birthday, it seems like.
Oh, please.
So you're welcome.
You're hinting for gifts, I know. Okay. All those listeners out there, you know, don't forget the birthday card.
Yeah, and mostly it's the hot air affecting the temperatures. That's what he's referring to.
That's Des Moines.
Yeah. So there's a bill that you introduced. It seems like there's a lot of misconceptions about it. Yeah. Because you wrote a guest post on CaffeinatedThoughts.com kind of explaining what this bill's all about. It's election integrity bill. Now, has it dropped in does it have a bill number yet? Because I wasn't able to find it.
Yeah, it's in the House. The House has got a House study bill number on it. I'm not sure if the Senate has. I'm sorry. I didn't bring the number with me.
Okay.
I will make sure I email it over to you so you'll have it for your online.
The podcast? Okay, great. Yeah. And so, yeah, everybody who's listening, just check the podcast later on. We'll have that bill number for you.
It's one of those things where a lot of people jump to conclusions before they even had the bill out there in their hands. And frankly, the reason I announced the bill was coming early on was because I was trying to send a clear signal to those legislators who had interest in elections reforms to basically say, hey, be patient. Your state's commissioner of elections, be myself. And my staff have spent a long time researching and putting together what we think is a very comprehensive approach to updating the technology and the procedures in our elections. And part of that is clearly the integrity / voter ID and trying to get around voter fraud and the human error components of elections. And that's what we did. We shared with them the basic components. The bill is in their hands. So But unfortunately, those who want to be politicians, politicize it, got out there just beating the drum on trying to put all the usual propaganda out that it's, you know, disenfranchising and it's picking on certain segments of the population. And frankly, it's the end of the world as we know it, as they try to paint it. But I've been appreciative of both you guys and others allowing me to at least put the facts out there. And, you know, there are going to be those who say, damn the facts, we'll just, you know, put our own opinion out there. But clearly what I've offered is so much more than that. It's really, it's been over a decade since we've upgraded our technology, and there's so many things that have happened, and more people are voting by absentee ballot than ever before. We're at 40% of people doing that.
Yeah, wow, 40%?
Yeah, wow. In Iowa. That's Iowa alone. And some counties have gotten closer to 50%. So we just said, hey, guys, we've got to put some technology in here, invest in it. And frankly, this last presidential election, between the campaigns themselves and then the media amplifying this concern that there's rampant voter fraud out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've taken the position, I don't believe Iowa has rampant voter fraud.
Right.
But we do have human error, and yes, we have stupid people who do stupid things.
Stupid? go figure.
You know, there's no way to say it nicer and think that they're doing something.
I can't vote twice? Fraud. Yeah. So, let's talk about what the bill actually does, and then we'll get into what it doesn't do.
Yeah. Well, the biggest part of it, all that the liberals want to talk about is, it's just this ugly voter ID that, and they want to do political profiling, and I'm just not going to put up with it because I'm trying to take the political stuff out of this. I'm trying to focus on the crucial components of what Iowans want to make sure their vote is kept intact. And when you talk about voter ID in this bill, it's technology driven. We're telling everybody, look, we've got 72 out of the 99 counties who use these electronic poll books, which is a fancy term for a laptop computer that has all the voter data in it, including our complete list of all the felons who had their voting rights returned, as well as the felons who haven't. Mm-hmm. That list is in the computer. It has, so that when a voter would walk in to vote, they would be able to pull up on the computer, hey, Paul Pate's name's there, right? Okay, is he an Iowan and a U.S. citizen? That's on there as well. It tells them what precinct they should be voting in. It tells me if I've already got an absentee ballot out there. So they'd have all this right in front of them. It tells them I'm not a felon. We hope here in the near future, with some help from Congress, we'll be able to even have on there to guarantee you a U.S. citizen for everybody.
Right.
So all this is,
of course, that's just awful if you ask a liberal.
We don't need to worry about those details.
Right.
And that's facetious to those guys out there who want to take it out of context. You do that, and the trigger mechanism that makes this all work is we ask for an ID card, and what I want off that ID card is the barcode, because on the barcode it's your identity, and your driver's license has that. Mm-hmm. So does your state ID, so will your passport, so will your military ID, and your veterans card. Those barcodes are there for allowing us to know you are who you are.
Mm-hmm.
That's 95% of all registered Iowa active voters that have those. So the other 5%, I said, okay, so we don't get the courts upset and we don't disenfranchise people, we're going to mail them. They don't have to do one thing. They don't have to get up off their chair. We automatically mail them a voter ID card with a barcode on it. And any future voters who register don't have a state ID, we'll be doing it automatically. So nobody is, you know, going out of their way to have to do anything. The process is that way, and now we're all set. So when you go into the polling place, you hand them that card, they scan it through there, it verifies who you are, you sign in just like you're doing now, so now they have a signature to verify who you are as well, and we take that same process and use it to build absentee ballots. Because when you go to request an absentee ballot, you're going to write your voter ID number on the request form. You're going to sign the request form. And now we have that to verify that you are who you say you are. And we've now gotten major start on making sure you're an eligible voter before you go into the process. That's a big part of it. That's what the ACLU and the League of Women Voters and NAACP and all the other groups are out there trying to say that we are going to harm certain select groups.
Yeah, I mean, if for crying out loud, if you're mailing them their card and they don't have to get a photo ID, it just seems, you know, what's the complaint about here?
Well, a good question. And here's the best piece of information. We did a computer run to look at the registered voters we have right now, and to determine who does not have a driver's license right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because all we hear about is these poor people, and it's the African-Americans, and it's the senior citizens. Not true. Our hard numbers show, if you look at 18-year-olds to 95-year-olds, the older citizens actually have a higher proportion have a driver's license than the 18 to 25-year-olds.
Hmm.
And then you look for the rest of the ages, it's consistent all the way down the line.
That's
all
interesting.
There's no one group. And you look at national surveys, you're looking at 63% of the Democrats want a voter ID and support it. You're looking at 80-some percent of the independents and over 90% of the Republicans. And if you look at ages and ethnic backgrounds and color, by far the majority want voter ID. It isn't one segment of our population who want a voter ID. They all do.
Well, it seems to me, Paul, you mentioned earlier that 40% of the state of Iowa ended up using absentee voting.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that if that continues to grow, if we don't have a good protocol in place to stop it, absentee voting is just a rife opportunity for fraud.
It's definitely one of the more challenging ones to confirm. And as much as I want to trust Iowans, and I'll repeatedly say that I think we have one of the most honest elections, why put temptation out there? Why leave your front door wide open at night or in the daytime when you go to work? I mean, we protect what we value. We lock our doors, and it isn't because we've been burglarized or really think someone's going to probably come today, but if it's valuable, you do it. That's why banks have guards. They don't have guards there because they've been robbed every week. They're doing it because they're protecting something that's valuable. And I happen to think your vote's pretty valuable.
Yeah, I agree. You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and on the line we have Secretary of State Paul Pate. Paul, there was your office sent out an email this week discussing a discrepancy in Dallas County, in particular with absentee balloting. What was going on there?
Well, that was a very unfortunate human error issue, and it was done under the previous auditor's watch. He retired. Now we have a new auditor there. So I say that because I don't think that, again, the liberals are picking on the new auditor, and that's not fair.
Sure.
It was under a different watch. But what basically happened was the absentee ballots, when they totaled them up, when they were collecting them up, they missed literally close to 6,000 of those, because actually Dallas is one of the counties that has the highest voter turnout in absentees. I mean, they're probably knocking on 50%. And
wow.
Those votes didn't get processed, you
wow.
know, and when and then, you know, later on, someone, well, our office actually noticed it as well, but we're looking and going, why is Dallas County absentee ballot numbers down? You know, down. And the Dallas auditor's office identified what had happened. They just didn't get processed, and so they went through and processed them. Fortunately, I say that really mean that, it did not change a single race, both in the Dallas County nor in any state legislative races or from the presidential side as well. But because of the lateness in finding it out, we can't change our county or state canvas. That's kind of like the big club. That's when we do the official count.
Yeah.
And that's not what we want to see happen. Because if it had changed something, we'd have to say, well, oops, too bad.
That's
just the way it goes. And one of the things I have in this bill of fines, which is two things, we're asking for what we call an election certification process, where there's a series of things we want the auditors to verify that they're doing. By law, they're supposed to do it, but they don't have to tell my office that they've done it.
Okay.
That includes things like, did you have any illegal voting action? By law, they don't have to tell me. I just find out kind of like you do if I hear about it.
Right.
So that changes that. And then we also ask for a post-election audit. And we were doing it in February, but because of this Dallas thing, I'm going to propose changing it in our bill to have it done between the election and before the state canvass.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
That's in December.
It'd be nice to make these corrections before, you know, people are sworn in.
Yes, that's what we're going to do. We're going to move the post-election audit and make sure our election certification process are all turned in and completed well before the state canvass in the first week of December. And that will give us more time to catch things like this. There is human error. I mean, we got 2 million voters out there. We got 99 counties. We've got thousands of precincts. It can happen.
Well,
I'm not making excuses, but it can happen. And if a county does that, presently, we have no monitoring system in place that gives my office the authority to check it out.
But now, we are out of time.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running.
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance
you need.
So we... what the... Okay, that was interesting.
I succeeded. I cracked him up, folks. I succeeded.
Well done, sir. Well done. So
it takes a lot of work to do that, too.
That one kind of stuff.
Okay.
All right. Got to get my composure back here. So on the line, who's wondering what? No, she's been on our show before, so she probably, you should expect this, right, Faith? We got Faith.
I've even been hanging out with you guys.
Yes. Faith McDonald.
And she lived to tell the tale.
Yes, and you survived. Faith McDonald is the Director of Religious Liberty Programs and of the Church Alliance for a New Sudan at the Institute on Religion and Democracy in Washington, D.C. Welcome again to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
Good to have you on. So I wanted to, first of all, talk about what new is happening in your main area of focus and expertise is on Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on?
You may know that just before President Obama left office, he lifted some of the sanctions on Sudan, the northern country of Sudan, which just happens to be one of those seven countries that there's a temporary ban on because it's connected to terrorism.
Hmm. So did he have legal authority to do that?
Who knows? you know,
he had a pen and a phone, I guess. So.
Order. Samantha Power made a statement to the UN press people and said that the reason that they did it was because there had been a sea change in the cooperation of Sudan in allowing humanitarian aid into different areas. Well, first of all, the reason there needs to be humanitarian aid is because the government of Sudan is bombing the daylights out of the people in those areas.
Right.
In the Nuba Mountains and in Darfur. They've used chemical weapons now. So the reason there needs to be humanitarian aid is because of the government of Sudan, and there's been no sea change. The people who are on the ground in both those regions in Sudan will tell you that they're still not allowing humanitarian aid in. They blame it on the people who are trying to keep the people safe, because they say the aid needs to come through us, not through the government. But that's another way to keep the people safe, because the government
right.
may poison the food.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe a sign that thing that there's a sea change is when they actually stop bombing, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And when they stop training jihadists, terrorists within their country. That's another thing that hasn't even been addressed by the previous administration, which I think we will probably see happen in this new administration. But the government of Sudan has terrorist training camps all over the country, and people from Boko Haram, the terrorist group from Nigeria, Al-Shabaab, the Somalis, Hezbollah, Hamas, Al-Qaeda, and ISIS have all been trained in those camps.
Well, that's a who's who of terrorist groups.
Right. So how long has South Sudan now been a nation, not independent nation?
Since 2011.
Okay. And how are things progressing? Probably things are tenuous with the ongoing turmoil, but
yes, there is ongoing turmoil, and once again, a lot of the credit for that goes to the Islamic Republic of Sudan in the north, because even though they made an agreement with the South that the South could separate, they have never wanted that to actually happen, and they think that by destabilizing the country, they would be able to once again have control over the whole area. And unfortunately, the UN and somewhat the State Department of the United States have helped with that. When the former vice president of South Sudan went rogue and started all of this violence, rather than trying to nip it in the bud and saying, you know, this man is going against a sovereign nation, we said, oh, you two need to make friends again, and he needs to be put back into the government. You know, I look at that and say, if the vice president of the United States decided to betray his country and kill lots of people, would we be saying to the president, oh, yeah, you have to take him back?
No, that would be...
I hate to even say that now that it's Mike Pence.
Right, right.
Saint.
Right. So, yeah, you know, no, we'd be looking for an impeachment and then a trial to, you know, try
treason,
him on treason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, fascinating. So in your email to me the other day, you said George Clooney has been involved in railroading President Salva Kiir. Is that part of that?
Yeah, there's this narrative that's in the media, in places like George Clooney and his friends from the Enough Project, which is one of the big humanitarian groups, the one that did the big report on the corruption of President Kiir and General Malong, who is the general who's the chief of staff there.
Okay.
And they blame everything on the government. You know, I've been hearing for 3 years now what's really been going on from people on the ground, and it's just been bizarre to watch this narrative that blames the government side for everything and will not not tell who's responsible. When there's an attack that happens, they'll say,
right,
well, men in uniform. Yeah. Which makes you think it's the government soldiers, when it just as well could be the guys on the other side, the former vice president's rebel soldiers. So it's very complicated, but I think that we will see better things happening in the South. I think that this administration understands that President Kiir has been treated unfairly, and will try to help to bring stability to the country. One thing that would help a lot with the stability is if they get some economic prosperity going. Because right now, right. you know, all they've got is the oil, and Khartoum is mm-hmm. cheating them on the oil. But that land has so many resources. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if people were assured, businesses were assured that they could go in and, you know, have invest in a business like for, my favorite is shea butter, because, you know, we all love lotion with shea butter in it, and okay. the shea butter nuts are there all over. Mm. There could be a shea butter factory, and if they had the right security so that there weren't crazy people attacking it, South Sudan could be one of the most prosperous countries in Africa.
Interesting. So, what can we as believers do to help South Sudanese?
Well, most of all, pray, because this is definitely an issue of spiritual warfare, and pray for all the reconciliation efforts that are going on, both by the church and by the government. The government has started a new national dialogue to try to bring about reconciliation between ethnic groups. But the church is, of course, very involved in that, too, since that's the mandate of the church.
Right.
So pray about that. And also, when there's information that comes out that seems very slanted in one direction, don't always believe it. Think that there might be another part of the story that you're not hearing.
Right.
Are you suggesting that George Clooney is not a foreign policy expert? Just saying. I mean, I want to make sure.
Well, he knows a lot about coffee, doesn't he? This Nespresso thing that he's into.
Yeah.
But he's not a big foreign policy guy.
Well, but he did Syriana. That movie.
Well, that's true.
So that's true.
Yeah,
well,
that's
he
right.
did, oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Too,
that's true.
It's like one of my favorite movies. But.
Shane's looking at Ron and saying, how much time left do we have here?
So, hey, you're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and on the line we have Faith McDonald. Our timer kind of went on the fritz, so wanted to make sure we had enough time here. I want to shift gears and mm-hmm. talk a little bit about the refugee, the executive order on mm-hmm. on refugees, and what are your thoughts about Trump's executive order? Are you for it, against it, kind of, you know, not sure?
I am for the principle of it.
Okay.
I think it could have been communicated better. I do believe that as a nation we have a right to protect ourselves, and that there's nothing wrong with temporary bans on nations where we're afraid that there could be people who want to harm our country. You know, we've mm-hmm. heard plenty of reports from ISIS bragging that they're already here and that they're sending people in as refugees or as migrants.
Yep.
So that's one big problem. I think that needs to happen. I wish it had happened a little better, but, you know, part of it isn't the Trump administration's fault. I've heard from people who get the communications that the refugee resettlement groups get that information was leaked to the anti-Trump people before it even came out, and they were ready with their, you know, full court press
right.
Demonstrations and everything, you know, right away. So it staggers me that this administration now is trying to save the country from committing suicide, and yet there's still people in the country who want to commit suicide.
Right.
So it's just very sad.
The response from some you know, some of my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ has been kind of mind-boggling. For one thing, I've not taken a hardline position either way on this, because mm-hmm. I'm still not entirely sure how effective the executive order will be, because it doesn't include countries like Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, mm-hmm. places where, you know, we've also seen radicalization. But
then it would add more Muslims. So, you know,
yeah,
you'd
right.
get even more trouble.
Well, that's true. That's true. And you know, when Donald Trump was running his campaign and he suggested a Muslim ban, I actually spoke out against that. because I thought it was unconstitutional. However, this particular...
We're going to talk about that later, because I can't see that, Shane. Go ahead.
Yeah, this particular executive order is kind of... It doesn't seem like it's out of line compared to what other presidents have done. But anyway, just the response, you got the 100 evangelical pastors that put an ad out. And I'm just like, where were they on the Christians and Yazidis? Is that how you pronounce that?
In
Syria, who weren't able to come into the country during the Obama administration. I don't recall them posting a letter complaining about that. So it's just kind of mind-boggling.
No, Faith, I remember when we had you on the show here a year or two ago, you were talking about how slim the numbers were with respect to Christians and the Yazidis. Am I saying that correctly?
Yazidis.
And it boggled my mind that they had a certain percentage of the population over there that was not represented in the number of refugees we were bringing over.
That's right. It was hardly represented at all. And so that is something that this administration is trying to counter. So, of course, now they get accused of favoring religious minorities or favoring Christians, But, they're trying to balance things out, for one thing. And the other thing is, with the Christian leaders who are standing up, you're just so right. They didn't say anything about these people. And to me, it's a slap in the face to these Christians. I mean, even if they don't want to come into this country,
right,
it would have been nice for them to be acknowledged, or to have a full page ad in the Washington Post saying, we're praying for Christians who are being slaughtered by ISIS. But no, they didn't do that. And I'm ashamed, basically, of the leaders who signed on to that.
Yeah, it's I think our priorities are skewed, and the main
there
thing I've
is.
Been
Absolutely
I,
right.
I, one thing I've been telling Christians that have been so against refugee ban, fine, if you're against this, okay, I get that, but at least tell the truth about what it actually does. And it's something that's been frustrating to me as well. On one hand, this isn't the greatest thing since sliced bread. I'm not sure it's going to be effective. On the other hand, it's not an all Muslim ban. It's not really out of line of what other presidents have done. And the amount of refugees he's going to be letting in once the ban is lifted will actually be online with other presidents have done. So it's just, insane.
Just the media being crazy.
We are out of time, but thank you for calling in. We appreciate it.
Thanks,
always appreciate your perspective and insight.
Thank you.
Thanks for
good
the update.
Good to talk to you guys.
Good talk with you. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give him a call at 515-292-7141 or go to crosswalkcounseling.org.
Well, normally at this time we would have our news segment, but in honor of our third anniversary of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, we're going to do something a little different today. Instead of doing the news rundown, we decided we'd share some clips from our blooper reels.
And I need to interject here because looking at the list, Brian and Ron put these together, and it's, I think most of them are including me.
Yeah, well, most of them are. But let me just point something out here, buddy. Two things. First of all, you do almost all of the live reads.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, there would have been more stupid material for me.
That's true.
But I don't do the live reads.
Yeah.
So,
which more opportunity to mess up.
That's kind of how that works. And secondly, I tend to torture you with distraction.
That's true.
While you're doing the live reads.
Yes. And fortunately, I've gotten pretty good at just staying focused and not looking at you.
You have.
But you did get me on that.
Yeah. I got you just today.
Yes,
didn't I?
You did.
Yeah.
Also, we need to point out that a lot of these never made it to the air since we don't.
I think
we're
all
not
but,
live.
I think, but all but all, one of them all, did you know, not make.
And the one that did was, oh, that was a humdinger. So.
Oh, that'd be two then. Okay. Anyway. Let's start off with clip number one.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Nothing like Brian laughing during the intro.
We never even got that one out of the gate.
No. It's like somebody needed to turn his mic off. All right.
You were probably losing it,
oh,
too.
That was
you
on
just
me
couldn't
then.
Hear
nah,
you.
Never. Never. All professional, man.
All right. Here we go. Clip number two.
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Let's start over. I'm just like, my mind went, what am I supposed to say next? It's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. That actually happens frequently,
never.
Unfortunately.
Never. Never.
Yeah.
We got a fun one coming up here.
Oh, gosh.
Clip number three.
Did I say caffeinatedthoughts.com?
I'm going to... I probably don't have time to... All right.
Hey, that one there.
At least I did it early. I think we had probably didn't have enough coffee that day.
That was actually like half a dozen different bloopers that were tied together.
Oh, nice. good. All right.
Okay, on to clip four.
Lung. Shane Vander Hart. Hey, I'm just quitting smoking.
Okay.
Half the time
you done laughing here.
You guys are making fun of me.
Go to your safe place.
I know.
So you gotta wait till it's all done.
I know.
That one was priceless.
That was unique.
And this is just over the last year and a half. This does not take into consideration the first year and a half of the show.
I didn't know for a while that we were actually storing these up. This is like, Brian.
Why are you looking at me like that?
You.
It's like, well, hey, Ron, start a blooper reel.
Well, just so that you don't think that you're the only one that occasionally coughs and so on and so forth, we have... clip 10.
Oh, clip 10. So you're going to jump on me, eh? Well, I'll get that in there for you now.
This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another thrill-packed and exciting episode of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029. And he can help you find the life insurance you need.
Wow, that was...
Was that bad or what?
That was bad.
You were off at CPAC, I think.
Mm.
And I'm in here with Riker. So I'm thinking...
Should have had him do the readings.
Well, I did from that point forward. Because what I figured, for better or for worse, I thought, well, I'll do the opening, I'll introduce Riker, and then after that, he'll take everything.
Yeah.
I wish now I'd have just said, forget it, because that was... I don't know what that was. My wife said it sounded like, you know, red, green or something, but... Anyway,
it was rough.
It was ugly. All right, next up, this is clip 5.
We are about to share a story that is truly unbelievable. Yet, you know it must be true because...
Can't make this stuff up.
I'm asleep at the wheel. What can you say?
The timing was just a little off.
Oh, that was good. Okay, this is from San Carlos Park, Florida. This is a UPI story.
You can do this. Come on now.
I'll get through it.
A Florida pizzerias. Is that how you say it?
No.
Pizzeria.
Oh, wow.
Pizzeria.
Brian has lost it.
Oh, my goodness.
I think maybe we should try this one again.
I think we should, too.
That one made the blooper reel for sure.
Yeah.
And it did not go out on the air.
This next one did, though, unfortunately. To my eternal shame.
All right. We just got a few seconds left. Anything? Oh, we're out of time. So thank you, Congressman King, for coming in to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Let's try that again.
King.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what they're saying.
Congressman Young.
He's too caffeinated.
Yeah.
Both of them.
We'll edit that.
It's a pleasure.
That was classic, too, because David Young was in studio with us. And you called him Congressman King. It was classic.
He looked so offended.
Well, what was cool is our engineer here, Ron, managed to edit that out.
It never actually
went out in the air.
Well, phew. But now everybody knows that I actually called Congressman Young.
All right, we got to hustle up here. 7.
Trout.
Welcome back to Travis. It's a Travis Rizzo show. He's the title sponsor.
The Travis Rizzo show.
Yeah, how much did I did that?
Oh, we'll do better than that. This.
Fun, fun, fun. Oh,
okay. Let's go to clip 8.
Excellent. Okay. Hey, this is Shane Vanderhurt, and if you missed Caffeinated Thoughts Radio last Saturday... Blah, blah,
blah, blah. You missed a show that sucked.
Yeah. Hey, this is Shane Vanderhurt.
This one sucked even worse than the normal one sucked.
Got that out of your system? Brian just takes a blooper, and he just makes it worse. That's Brian's job.
You got 1 minute.
1 minute, one...
Number nine.
One left.
Hey, this is Shane Vanderhurt, and if you missed Caffeinated Thoughts Radio last Saturday, you missed a great interview with Rebecca Locke, author of I'll Take My Disease Rare, Please. Be sure to catch... Did I pronounce her name wrong? Lauk. Yeah, see, I should have looked at my Lauk. Okay.
Oh, well, I hope you enjoyed that more than I did, because I'm not sure I enjoyed that at all. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment. Put me on the cover of the Rolling Stone, Uptown, Down Home, American
Kids. You've prayed, but it didn't do much good. You still have the same problems, and God is not helping. Maybe you're not praying, but simply worrying to God. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. God says for us to cast our anxieties upon Him. But too often, we cast them like we are impatiently fishing. We toss them out for Him, but then we reel them back in to see why we hadn't caught anything. Better imagery is to cast them out as if we were feeding bread to ducks on a pond. The bread is out of our control once it hits the water, and there's no getting it back. God wants to offer you peace by taking your anxiety. Your best option is to learn to stop worrying to God and start trusting Him. To learn how to trade anxiety for peace, call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Hey, do you want to take advantage of the marketing potential within social media for your company or organization, but you're not so sure how? Let me help. My company, 415 Communications, is a social media consulting firm that works with groups like yours. Go to 415communications.com or give me a call at 515-321-5077.
Last week, we started a new feature on Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We may eventually put this at the end of the news segment, but today we're once again ending the show with this new feature. So, without further ado, drum roll, please. May I present to you the top Trump tweet of the week?
I'm so excited.
So are they.
Huge.
It's going to be huge.
You don't realize we have a live audience when we do. Well, you do the show.
And, ladies and gentlemen, today we have a twofer.
Oh, awesome.
This one is from February 7th at 4:11 a.m.
All of his interesting tweets happen when I'm asleep.
Yeah, man.
Listen, one thing we can say about our newly elected, or excuse me, I should say newly inaugurated leader of the free world is this dude is active on Twitter. All right.
Yeah, that's something.
4:11 a.m., February 7th, 2017. I don't know Putin. I have no deals in Russia, and the haters are going crazy. Yet Obama can make a deal with Iran. Number one in terror, no problem. What he's talking about here. Donald Trump's circle of GOP foreign policy critics is quickly expanding. The president has long been able to count on Senators McCain and Graham to rebuke his overtures to Russia. And to a lesser extent, Rubio and Portman have sounded disapproving notes. But on Thursday, seven more Republicans spoke out. The clearest evidence yet that Trump has struck a major nerve with members of his own party, including Joni Ernst of Iowa.
Yep.
When he recently put Putin on equal moral footing with the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what is going on inside of this guy's head. It is a little disconcerting. I mean, I realize that we're probably reading too much into all this, but he does seem to have a habit of showing that he's like, you know, Putin's bud or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird. He needs to take a harder line with Russia.
All right. The second one is at 3:35 p.m. on February 9th. See you in court. The security of our nation is at stake. And, of course, we know why that one came back.
Right.
President Donald Trump's travel ban will remain blocked. A federal appeals court ruled Thursday. The unanimous ruling from a three-judge panel means that citizens of seven majority Muslim countries will continue to be able to travel to the U.S. despite Trump's executive order last
week. And it sounds like the State Department's really jacking the number up of allowing people in while this ban has been lifted, which seems...
Swung the doors open.
It seems a little
Yeah, it's
sketchy.
Like they're taking advantage of the...
Yeah, well, it's like why you'd poke your president in the eye. Anyway, the State Department's never been really friendly to Republicans.
It's pretty interesting, though. See you in court.
Yeah.
This is a classic Donald,
well,
isn't it?
The Ninth Circus Court usually has an average of 80% of its rulings overturned when it comes to the Supreme Court.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me a bit. When the dust all settles on this thing, it wouldn't surprise me a bit if the president will win, because I've read the two federal statutes dealing with this. And
right.
I think he's well within his executive discretion here.
You may not like it, but that doesn't mean it's unconstitutional.
That's right. Right. It doesn't mean you don't have to like the policy to still be sympathetic with the notion that perhaps the president is on safe legal ground.
Right. Anyway, yeah. So still, we'll see what happens there. We'll see if he gets his nominee confirmed before that actually comes before the Supreme Court. Anyway, this is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Take care.